The scripture reading this morning will be from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 32 through 40. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 through 40. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us.
Good morning. It's good to see you this morning. We're glad that you're here. It is our joy and privilege to be together to offer a praise to our God, our Father in heaven. I'm glad that you are here. I can't hear myself. Can you hear me? Okay. Sounds like I'm underwater. You ever try to have water in your ear? Yep, that's what it sounds like. So if I yell this morning, it's because I can't hear. They tell me that's good when I sing, that I can't hear myself sing. So I don't know how good that is, because if I can't hear it, it sounds pretty good to me, then I don't know any better. How did they do it? Did you just hear those passages read? Thank you, Ryan, for that. Go back over them. Stay in there in Hebrews chapter 11. How did they do it? Did you hear what they went through? They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. They weakness made strong and valiant, and they put to flight the armies of the enemies. Women received their dead to life again. They were tortured. They were sawn in two. Trials of scourgings and mockings and imprisonment, stoned, wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, hid in caves. When you read that, can you imagine it? Hopefully the Bible is not read and you just kind of gloss over it and think, wow, that was good for them. No, no, no. Stop. Go back. Think about it. Stand there. How did they do that? And could you have done that? This morning I want to talk to you about just that. How they did it. Endurance. That's the word that you're going to read in this chapter. Proper perspective ensures endurance. That's what they had, and that's what you and I need. It is not difficult to start something. You probably started something once or twice in your life. What you, like me and others, have probably found is it is much more difficult to continue the something you started. And you, like me, have probably stopped one or two things. Maybe giving up. After all, there are always obstacles to endurance and perseverance. It would be great if it were easy, but it's not. It would be great if it were simple and everything just worked out, but it doesn't. It took people a long time to realize that we should probably not wait to January 1st to say we're going to get up at 5 in the morning and go work out. Hard to endure that. But you've probably tried other things, and there were obstacles. There are always obstacles. Life happens. circumstances change. But that's not exactly what we read in these verses. No, the obstacles here are much different. These people had opposition trying to stop them. There were individuals in their way. There were enemies at the gate. There were those who opposed them and set out with nothing more in their life than to try to prevent them from enduring. But maybe fatigue has set in. That's one of the things that creates an obstacle, is you just get tired. Have you ever just gotten tired? Tired of trying. Maybe you get weary in well-doing. You know, the Bible wouldn't say don't get weary in well-doing if we couldn't get weary in well-doing. So maybe that's it. I'm just tired of doing the right thing. Maybe fear stops you. Maybe doubt sets in. You remember Peter walking on the water? He began to doubt. And maybe that's with us. Maybe we began to doubt, and that hurts our endurance. Maybe it's fatigue. Maybe it's doubt. Maybe it's fear. You know, amazingly, it could even be success. Maybe you believe you made it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 to about verse 12. Speaks of success being an obstacle to endurance. Endurance always puts me in the mind of running. It's kind of how the Bible talks about it. Running a race, this Christian life. Endurance. 26.3 miles, I think, somewhere near there, is a marathon. From what marathon runners tell me, it's not the distance. Although those of us who don't run marathons, that's the first thing we think it is. But those who run them tell me it's not the distance that you can't do. Oh, no, you can do it. But I believe them when they say, no, it's the mind. It's the endurance. It's what you go through mentally out there when you're enduring, taking that next step. I've never run 20 miles. I've never run. I've tried to imagine it. Can you? I've run a couple. Why is that funny? I ran a couple. I ran a few miles, and my mind wanders on a few. I get troubled on just a few miles. In fact, I've asked myself a couple of times, man, what are you doing this for? Why are you running? This next step is really going to hurt. By the time you have that thought, though, you've already taken a couple more. And at some point, your side starts to ache, your mind starts to wander, and pretty soon, you stop. You know, the Christian life is referred to as a race. It's an endurance run. Think about your life. You're running your Christian race. Are you going to make it? Are you going to endure? There are people who began the race and they stopped running. This morning we want to talk about how they made it and how we can make it. These people who we just read about made it. They endured. How did they do it? 2 points. Then application. The first point is, go back a little earlier in the chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, about verse 8 beginning. They saw it. They saw the finish line. They saw the unseen. They saw it. Point number one. How did they do it? Perspective. They saw it. Begin with me in verse number 8. The Bible says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham is not the only one being spoken of. It's actually Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, but it's all of them. It's not simply Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. It's Sarah. It's all of them by faith. Verse number 11 of Sarah, it says, through faith also Sarah received strength to conceive seed. Verse 12, therefore sprang even of one of him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude. Verse 13, the Bible says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Note the these. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Look at the next phrase. But having seen them afar off, they saw it. How did they endure? They saw it. They saw the unseen. In fact, it was that perspective, it was that visual, it was that sight that enabled them to do what the rest of verse 13. There's three or four points in verse 13 alone. Because after it says they saw it, know what follows. Having seen the promises that were afar off, what did it do? The Bible says they were persuaded. Let me ask you this. Are you persuaded you're going? Are you persuaded it's true? Are you persuaded the city is real? These people saw it. They weren't going to an imaginary place. They saw it. They were persuaded. Not only were they persuaded, note the rest of the verse. They were persuaded of them and embraced them. What did they embrace? They embraced the promises. They embraced them. They were persuaded of them. They were embraced them. And the Bible says, thirdly, they confessed them. How did they do it? They saw it. Verse number 14 says, they that say such things declare plainly they seek a country. They saw it. That moved them to declare it. If you had met Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Sarah, and these people, they would have told you they saw it. In fact, every time Scripture speaks of faith and visually seeing, it talks about it in this kind of language. Look at verse 27 of Moses. His actions, why did he take them? By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. Moses, why would you walk out of the palace? I see something better than this palace. I see him. Notice, go over to 2 Corinthians 4. We'll come back right back to Hebrews. Look at what it says about Paul. Look what Paul says rather to the saints in Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. We're going to return here momentarily, but note verse 18. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen. Now, for that to make good sense to you, go back up earlier in the chapter. Talk about enduring. Go back up just a little bit. Notice about verse number 8. Paul says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. Paul, why are you doing this? How are you able to endure? Verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Friends, if you and I are going to make it, if we're going to endure, we're going to have to see it. We're going to have to be persuaded of it. We're going to have to confess it, and we're going to have to declare it. We see it. There is something beyond this world. There is the eternal. Paul saw it. Moses saw it. The patriarchs saw it. And as a result of seeing it, they embraced it. They confessed it. They declared it. They endured. When you read the end of chapter 11, that section that Ryan read, listen, that's not make-believe or myth. They were sawn in half. They were stoned. They were persecuted in dens and caves. How did they do? They saw it. And friends, once you see it, nobody can ever make you unsee it. They saw it and it was clear. Secondly, they had and they lived a pilgrim's perspective. That's how they lived their lives. Go back to Hebrews 11 and look at verse 9. The first part of the verse says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. Abraham was never a permanent resident there. They understood we are temporary dwellers, not permanent citizens. He was in a strange country. When you and I think of the land of promise, we think of that being Abraham's home. That wasn't Abraham's home. That was for his descendants. Abraham's home wasn't there. Abraham was a stranger in that place. In fact, Abraham didn't even have a place to bury his dead. He had to purchase a cave from somebody. He didn't have it there. Abraham understood. He dwelled as a stranger in that country. In fact, the rest of the verse says he dwelled in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of the same promise. This is not a permanent circumstance for Abraham. When you have a pilgrim's perspective, that's what you begin to think like. You think we're strangers here in a foreign land. Secondly, if you're a pilgrim, you're a traveler. You're a passerby. I'm just passing through. That's what pilgrims do. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, who was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for inheritance, obeyed. He went out not knowing where he was going. This man was traveling. That's what pilgrims do. Temporary dwellers on their way to their permanent abode. Verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. This is not my... You know, we sing that song. I imagine all the songs that we sing, it's interesting that God told us to not simply read the scriptures, but sing to each other. And when we sing to each other, God said, teach each other. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing. We're to teach and exhort in those songs. We actually sing a song. This world is not my home. I'm a pilgrim. I'm just passing through. As a result of this mindset, they did not become entangled in their foreign home. Look at verse 15. Truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Their mind was on their permanent home, the one that they sought. They understood this is not it. We're looking for something better. Verse number 16. But now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly country. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. There are two perspectives that they had. Number one, they saw that which was unseen. They saw it. In fact, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 18, Paul says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things that are unseen. We ask people sometimes, can you see it? Sometimes when you get into conversations, it's not physical sight. You're asking people, do you understand that? You may be talking to your child and you're asking something. You explain it. And then you say to them near the end of the conversation, can you see that? What do you mean? What do you mean when you ask a person, can you see it? You're not talking physical sight. Because you're not even pointing to something physical. You're discussing an idea, a concept, something you want them to grasp, hold on to, move their life by. And you're asking them, I've explained it. I've laid it out for you. Let me ask, can you see it? It's one of the reasons when you read the gospel accounts, our Lord is constantly saying, he who has eyes to see, he who has ears to hear. There is a perspective you and I need that shapes and molds and determines how do we endure. Something comes up. How do we make it? They were sawn asunder. They dwelled in caves. They were burned at the stake. They were this. How did they make it? They saw it. They saw it as clear as, in fact, a divine commentary on it is that passage we quote all the time, 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, which is based on knowledge, something we know, not by sight. The word sight is the word appearance. We walk by what we know, not by what appears to be the case. And it appears to be the case that Abraham is missing out. It appears to be the case that Abraham has it wrong. He left Ur of the Chaldees. Ur of the Chaldees was one of the most prosperous towns of its day. They had, according to one of those books I got back there on archaeology, it says they had running plumbing in Ur. Indoor plumbing in the house in Ur. Abraham left Ur, the permanent, and for what? To dwell in tents and caves and to live in foreign lands, a stranger. The appearance of that doesn't look right. Moses, you have Egypt. You're an heir, potentially, to the throne. Pharaoh's daughter has made you her own. You've been reared in the palace. And you're going to go and be a slave? The appearance is. But faith is based on what you know. It was God who told Abraham, get out of this land. I'll show you. Moses endured as seeing him who was invisible. If you can't, you cannot make it if you can't see it. If you can't see it, you won't endure. But if you can see it, that's perspective number one. But they live like pilgrims. That's perspective number two. They didn't just see it. Verse number 16 says, they desired a better country. That is a heavenly country. Wherefore God is not ashamed to call them their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Well, that's how they made it. Let's make application to us. Application in point number one. Our perspective in life needs to be spiritual, not carnal. Our perspective. If you and I will endure, we will do so if we have a spiritual perspective. We need to see spiritually that God and his way is the best way, the only way to order our lives. You take off running without God. You take off running without your knowledge. You take off running without a spiritual mindset. Friends, you're not going to endure. Life's going to get you. Your poor decisions are going to topple you. You're going to run and you are going to be your own worst enemy. You will not long endure. Oh, Lord, I know the way of man is not within himself. Jeremiah 10:23. It is not a man that walketh to direct his own steps. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Proverbs 3:3-5. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119:105. Friends, if you don't have a spiritual perspective, if you believe you're going to figure it out, if you believe that this thing is going to work just as soon as you're able to get your stuff together, you're not going to endure. Friends, you are going to keep running into obstacle and wall and hardship and challenge and difficulty, and it is going to wear you out. Point number one, we need a spiritual perspective. Point number two, we need to see it. We need to see the unseen. They saw it. Paul saw it. Moses saw it. And when they saw it, they were able to endure. They were able to keep going because they saw it. And if you can't see the end of this thing, if you can't see how this works out, if you can't see, this is it. This is, friend, you're not going to make it. And number next, you and I need a pilgrim's perspective. This world is not our permanent home. It is our temporary lodging place. We need to live like that. We need to live like we are just passing through. We need to examine our lives and inspect our treatment of this present world. Let me just not say present world, for the world is so large that it's hard to grab the world and fix it in your mind. So let me narrow the world down to America. This is not our home. This is not our permanent dwelling. If there is a challenge to living like a pilgrim, it's living here. Because here is going to do its best to convince us that this is it. And this is all that there is. I said we return to 2 Corinthians 4. Let's go back there. Notice what Paul says a verse or two earlier. He says, for which cause we endure. He didn't say endure, but he said the opposite of it. He says, for which cause we faint not. Why don't you quit, Paul? If anybody had opportunity to quit, if anybody was given reason to quit, if anybody was challenged in his life, Paul could have quit. Why don't we faint, Paul? Our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You need to read 2 Corinthians 11, begin at verse 23 to the end of the chapter, and hear what Paul describes as light affliction. Hear him describe himself as being beaten with rods. Hear him describe himself as being a night and a day in the deep. Hear him describe himself as being stoned and left for dead. How did you endure that? Light affliction, man. Light affliction. Why was it light, Paul? How's that possible? It's light compared to the eternal weight of glory. The end of the verse. For and while we look not at the things. Where were you fixed, Paul? I was just passing through, man. I was just passing through. And we had a hiccup or two on the way. But it was never, ever my permanent residence. When you live as a pilgrim in a foreign land, there are some things you should know and be warned of. Number one, whether it's physically or spiritually, foreigners, strangers, pilgrims run into problems with the host country. Before we make the application spiritual, let me ask you about your life as an American citizen. Have you ever seen foreigners here in our nation? There are two kinds. There are those foreigners who come over and become citizens. And if not legally become citizens, they adopt our ways. And you see them. They adopt our ways, our dress, our food, our speech. And what happens to those people? They become assimilated in what we call the melting pot of our nation. They become one of us. And we accept them. Let me ask you this. In our nation, and maybe in your own life experiences, what happens when they don't? What happens when they're in our nation, but they hold on to their ways? They hold on to their dress. They hold on to their food, their speech, and their things. What happens to them then? Don't they stand out? Don't they look different? How are they treated? Or maybe I should say mistreated. For not conforming. The early church dealt with this very thing. Spiritually, it's equally true. You will either assimilate or be persecuted. Those are your options if you're a foreigner. Apply that to Christianity and your life. The more nearly you and I hold on to our citizenship, the more nearly we hold on to our God's ways in this foreign land, you will stand out. You will be different. And you will be persecuted because of your unwillingness to adopt the ways of your host country. Go down to the job and be spiritual. Peter says they think it's strange that you run no more with them. Everybody lies. But here comes Miss Goody Two Shoes. Oh, they don't lie. They are Christian. Everybody curses. But here comes Mr. Holier Than Thou. Oh no, he don't curse. He don't never say nothing bad. Everybody drinks. But not Mr. Self-Righteous. Everybody is willing to live and let live. But this judgmental guy over here. Oh, she's the standard by which everything is right. Let your light so shine as a foreigner in your host country, and you will expose the citizens there, and they will see you as not conforming to them. And what now? You can either assimilate, conform, or stand out and be persecuted. With that thought in your mind, read Romans chapter 12 now. And hear Paul say to the saints, I beg you, brethren, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed. This is not your home. Don't live like them. Don't assimilate yourself. Don't conform to them. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may please one who is over your nation. He would say to the saints in Philippi, our citizenship is in heaven. You and I live in a foreign. How do you endure? How do you make? You gotta live like a pilgrim. It's what failed Israel. You remember 1 Samuel chapter 8 verse 5? They no longer wanted to stand out as foreigners. So they said to Samuel, make us a king. How? You make us like all the nations around us. You make us accepted. You make us like them. We live in the world, but we must not be enamored with the world. I imagine that's true of foreigners. When I went to a foreign land, my neck and head was on a swivel. I was looking at their things. I was watching at what they did. I wanted to know what makes this place go. It's not my home. I wonder what they're doing. I imagine when foreigners come here to America, they do largely the same thing. Look at the buildings. Look at the things that we have. Look at the way of life that we have. You know, apply that spiritually. If you are and I am a foreigner here, spiritually speaking, you and I must not be enamored with the world. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, love not the world. You don't think you could love it here? But you're a stranger. But you're a pilgrim. Don't love it. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Have you begun to love this place? You can become enamored with the world. Secondly, that enamoring might lead you to be entangled with it. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 3, Paul says, no soldier entangles himself with the affairs of this world, not his home. By definition, pilgrims can't be permanent. By definition, pilgrims can't afford to be entangled. We're going somewhere else. But if you drop your anchor here, you get entangled here. Might lead you to this last thing. You might be willing to exchange your citizenship and become a permanent resident. Time will do that. The longer you live in a foreign land, time is likely to equate to ease with the conditions. But then if you live there long enough, you might find wealth in that place. And wealth could equate to comfort. Somebody asked me the other day, where are you from? I have a harder and harder time answering that question. I've come up with my own philosophy on it, and that is, I think when you've lived in one place longer than you've lived anywhere else, I think that's your home. That's just me, though. That's what I think. And I'm approaching the area where I'm going to have lived in Atlanta in just a little while here, longer than I have anywhere else in my life. And when I cross that threshold and somebody says, where are you from? I think I'm going to say Atlanta. Time does that. Our citizenship is in heaven. Let me ask you this. Where are you from? Wealth does that. Comfort, ease, and stability. You live in a place long enough and you could convince yourself this is permanent now. Have you and I lived long enough in our host nation? And we've gotten enough time in, enough comfort in, and enough stability to begin to believe it's permanent. We could renounce our citizenship for our foreign host nation. And if there is some exhortation in scriptures, it is simply this: don't do that. Do not ever begin to believe this is your home. That's the exhortation. You can avoid that. You can endure. They did. If you see it, and if you live like a pilgrim. There is one more point to consider that they didn't have that has to be said, simply because if you read chapter 12, after leaving them, he turns his attention back to the saints, and he mentions to the saints something they didn't have, at least not in reality, but only in perspective. And he says to the saints that they had an opportunity to look to Jesus. They never had that. These all died in faith, not receiving the promises. He's reserved something better for us. We have Jesus. Jesus came. He saw it. He lived like a pilgrim. And then he went back. Our citizenship is in heaven. How do you endure? You got to see it. You got to be persuaded of it. You've got to embrace it. You've got to confess it. And you've got to live like a pilgrim on foreign soil. Just passing through. Temporary abode. Going to somewhere else. Somewhere better. We don't get entangled. We don't get enamored. And we don't renounce our citizenship. And we look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Have you started with Jesus? Have you begun the journey? Life is hard, it's challenging. Tough. You start things, you stop things. You start things, you stop things. I read a great sign. I don't know who, maybe one of my children. I read it on something they had. It said, if you're tired of stopping, or if you're tired of starting over, then stop stopping, or something like that. You don't want to start over anymore, then stop quitting. There's something like that's pretty good. Here's how you going to make it. You need to endure. You need to have this perseverance. They had it, and so can we. You're not a Christian this morning, become one. You need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You need to repent of your sins. You need to confess His name. You need to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins and let Jesus save you. This world is not all that there is, friends. You are a soul inside of a body. This is a temporary dwelling. There's something better coming. You need to see that. You need to allow that to change your mind. You need to live that. You need to live like a pilgrim. Would you examine your own life and see if you are a Christian? Will you see if you become enamored with this place? Will you check and re-examine and check on your spiritual mind and see if you've adopted the ways of your host nation? Would you check your spiritual life and see if they've convinced you that this is the permanent place you need to be and you no longer want to stand out as different? The closer, the more we hold to our citizenship, the more we'll stand out as different in our host nation. Don't let that stop you from enduring. Subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.